morning, everybody. Glad to see you here this morning. We're ready to come and worship the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glad to see all of your smiling faces. So, a couple of announcements. Prayer meeting on Wednesday night. Encourage you to come. It's a great time of praying for each other and our fellow churches. And it's just been a good time. So, I encourage you to come. Join us. And then we have the group meet. And if you want to join, it's a group chat. It's not a prayer chain, but it's more like a prayer chat. I mean, we do a lot of praying, so that's good. So I encourage you to come, and it's easy to put on your cell phone, so Debbie can help you. And then we have Gleaners, and that's on Wednesdays. And it opens at 11, so come before 11. And if you know somebody that is in need of help, be sure and have them call either Sherry or Helen. And they will make an appointment to meet them down here and help them. We have a great food closet to help people if they need it. The community potluck is on hold. We will be having it, but I don't know when it's going to start up again. I haven't got to talk to Sherry, so we will get it going. Paul Baker, we're having his celebration of life on Saturday, February 11th. So it'll be at 11 o'clock with a potluck lunch afterwards. So I encourage you to come and enjoy celebrating Paul. He's such an awesome guy, so it'll be worth coming and celebrating Paul. And our potlucks will be starting back up again February 12th, second Sunday of each month, and it will be February 12th. We'll have potluck. That'll be fun.
Mind you, there's a potluck on the 11th, too.
I already said that.
Okay.
It's covered. Men's retreat. They are having a men's retreat March 24th to 26th. So see Bill Marble if you're interested in going. And Jeremy's excited. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so thankful for today, and we're thankful that we're going to have some dry days, and we had a snow yesterday and sunshine, so we just praise you for the mixture that you give us, and we just pray for today that we have some more sunshine. It would be nice. We just love you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this building that we can come and just worship you. We thank you for Pastor Teresa and the message you've put on her heart. And we thank you for the songs that we're going to sing, Lord, that we can just open our hearts and just praise your name. We just give you all glory for what you've done for us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we're going to do our call to worship. And it's 2 Corinthians 4. 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Amen. All right, let's stand, and we're going to start with, you can't kind of go by what's in, we're not going to sing the first song, we're going to go to the second song. I have decided to follow Jesus. 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 No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross. cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, the world behind me, the cross before me, no turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No none goes with me, I still will follow. No none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back. Amen. Joy unspeakable. I have found His grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. I have found that hope so bright and clear, living in the realm of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see His smiling face. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its waves of glory roll. It is like a great o'erflowing well, springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable, full of glory, oh, the half has never yet been told. Isn't that so, so true? Sometimes you just feel your joy. God just gives us that internal joy that this can't explain it. That's right, He does. That's the best part. This is my desire, to honor You, Lord, with all my heart I worship You. All I have within me I give You praise. All that I adore is in You. Lord, I give You my heart, I give You my soul. I live for You alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have Your way in me. Oh, Lord, I give You my heart, I give You my soul. I live for You alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have Your way in me. This is my desire, to honor Lord, with all my heart I worship you. All I have within me I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way in me.
And he leadeth me.
Amen. You may be seated.
Anyone else glad he leads them? Absolutely. Just a reminder for those that are on Facebook or out there, we have Tithely online. You can still give there. And then obviously here as well. Father God, thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us. Nonetheless, one is finances. So Lord, thank you for the money you give us to pay our bills, get our food, have a home, and influence the others in our lives for your name's sake. Take these gifts that we give back and multiply them exactly to that end. Amen. Now we get to be family again, as if we aren't already. Amen. So I've been watching the family chat this morning. I like to call it the prayer chat. And Helen posted that they had solid ice up on the hill where she's at, and Todd has already fallen and is on the way to the hospital. So I don't know Helen's family connections that well. Is Todd husband or son?
Landlord.
Okay. So Helen's landlord, Todd. So obviously pray for Todd. If he's on the way to the hospital because he fell, that might not be so good. So thank God for good roads this morning to get to church. Prayer for Todd there. I was checking the live feed and no one had posted there. I think Linda's on there with us though. So good morning, Linda. Yeah, Linda posted this morning, lots of stomach distress this morning. I do not anticipate being at church. She also said, we're still scheduled to move mom to St. Helens tomorrow, praying for a bed closer to home before Monday. So, prayer for Linda and Lori, and extra gas money to travel to St. Helens if necessary. Vicky. Yeah, very fast. And there was trouble with insurance, I think, through all that and everything. And thank God for moving the hands and minds and hearts of those that needed it. Yep. That was awesome to watch the prayer chat go through that. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, hallelujah. Yep. I just want to thank God for getting me through a tough week. I got about 4 or 5 hours of sleep every night this last week with a big, huge IEP for one of my students that has many, many needs. And so there's always many things to address and lots of data to collect and prepare for the team to see. And it was just a rough one for me, and he brought me through it. And I'm thankful. Continue, please, praying for my father-in-law at home. He is lazy and forgetful and thinks he does his exercises and doesn't do his exercises. Please pray for me that when I confront him, it's always loving and always with unconditional positive regard. Because I'll watch him do his exercises and he'll miss half of them. He'll say he's done. So, and I think he honestly thinks he is. I don't. So please pray for me to have the patience to continue to love him like Jesus through every season in life. Bill. Yes. And that's what I love the prayer chat, but then sometimes there's, stuff and then I don't see it for a day and I feel bad, but it's like, you know what? Is God timeless? Yeah. And he's timeless. He's not bound by the laws of this universe that he created. He created it. So this might seem kind of backwards, but there's nothing wrong with praying for something that happened yesterday today. Because he's not limited like we are. And someday we won't be limited because we'll be with him. But why? Why, when we are his children, do we limit ourselves? He's God. Wink. Mm-hmm. Continued prayer for Dan Kroom. Week is expressing that. And grateful heart and thankfulness for the prayers for him and Phyllis as they come through a rough patch. Wink fell and Phyllis fell ill. And between the two, they have made it through with prayer and petition. Absolutely. So great to see you sitting there, too. Phyllis, did you have another one? Okay. You're welcome. Fred. So Fred's talking about my brother Tony and a lot of turmoil in his school where he went to start teaching this year with a 35 teacher walkout with some uncontrollable teacher behavior, and we need to pray the Holy Spirit and the peace of God comes down over that place and into my brother's heart so that he can continue to do his job, be a light to the world, and talk about it if necessary, but to show Christ every day. He's also been assaulted by one student as well, so prayer for that student, obviously, as well as my brother. If that happened, that student's heart needs the Holy Spirit to find peace. Sarah. Josh. Josh is just asking for good days, praying for our leaders, for officers, those who are on the front line, that they be safe, they be protected, that their guardian angels do their job as they do theirs. An embarrassing moment. I got pulled over a few days ago trying to pick up Claire, and watch out for those EVs. We got a new car, and I hit the gas pedal, and it went faster than I expected, quicker than I expected, right in front of a cop. So I got pulled over, and I told them exactly what I did wrong, and they go, well, yeah, that's exactly why I'm pulling you over. And I said, yep, that was reasonable suspicion that I was not a functioning driver. I appreciate your attention to safety. And we went through it all, and he said, well, have a good night. Verbal warning. I'm like, thank you, sir. So watch out for those electric vehicles. They go a little too fast. But that officer was quite professional, quite personable, and just did his job. And I'm appreciative for him doing that. Landon. Yeah, yeah. This is a praise. This is a huge praise. So Landon is developing a real friendship with another peer. His name is Dublin. Dublin has a heart that is huge, has parents that are in industries that serve children with disabilities, and they fostered a great heart in Dublin, and he's reaching out to Landon, and Landon had a play date. I mean, a for real play date, and it went well, and he enjoyed it. Yes, yes, Bubba. I'm not sure what he just said. Okay. Well, at least wherever they drive, they definitely reduce air pollution where they're on the road. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Jeremy. So praise that cousin Jeff, your brother Jeff, is coming out in February, and prayer for your best friend Chris. I've met Chris, who has COVID. Okay. Absolutely. Sarah. So Sarah is lifting up her former teaching peer, Alyssa, who continues to struggle with what started as bone cancer but has metastasized and has come and gone three different times now. And they're still trying to figure out how to attack a tumor on her lung right now. 2 years straight in the battle, coming and going. And so continued prayer for Alyssa. Her faith still does not waver in her posts. God is good. And then there was another thing I didn't remember. Ah, yeah. My daughter's dance competition coming up. In a couple weeks, she'll have her first dance competition. So. Next Saturday. Okay. Fred. Prayer for my mom. She's home. She's tired. She raised four boys, so I can understand why. Anybody else? All right. Yes. Oh, that's right. Yay. So continued prayer for Teresa Hesselgesser, who has been fighting over a month some kind of bug, cold, flu. So some kind of viral bug that has kept her sick for quite a while, and she's taking some steroids, and they appear to be making some progress. So, continued prayer for Teresa Hesselgesser, Judy's daughter-in-law. So, all right. Let's go together as a family before God. Almighty God, King of all kings, maker of heaven and earth, thank you for stepping down to each one of our hearts to live in us, empower us with your great love. And because of your great love for us, thank you for always being loving, trustworthy, merciful, gracious, and just. Lord, forgive us this last week for moments where we fell short of your glory in our lives, where we didn't listen as we should have, or maybe we said something crass. Or we didn't listen to a nudge. Or we were just so tired, we were zombified through the week. Lord, forgive us and restore us to a closer walk with you this week. Lord, thank you for many of the things you have given. Homes, cars, finances, jobs. And jobs even in retirement to do, to be your hands and your feet everywhere we go. Lord, we have many needs to lift up to you, people in our body and friends around. Lord, we are thankful for the return of Link and Phyllis. Thank you for watching over them and their recovery. And Lord, be with Linda, who's not able to be here today and not feeling well in her gut. Lord, for her and Lori and the rest of their family, help them find just the right place for their mom to go. And if it's St. Helens, just put the right people there that their mom needs. Lord, just let them trust in your guidance, but give them the way to go and see. Lord God, be with all of our elected leaders. Begin to show them greater wisdom, even though they don't seek it out sometimes. Lord, let your grace fall upon all through wisdom you give them and good choices, and good judgment that make good policies so all will thrive. Lord, we lift up those who are also ill and can't be here. We lift up Dan Krum and his continuing fight for battle. Lord, we lift up Sarah's former co-worker, Alyssa, as she continues to fight cancer. Lord, we lift up Teresa Hesselgesser, fighting a bug that has just been so tough to get over. Lord, make her rest multiply in healing. Lord, there are many needs shared today and many praises. Praises for good things that have happened at work and for abilities to have new vehicles and Lord, for so many things that you have provided for your children here at Gales Creek. We just thank you and ask you to continue to meet those needs. Lord, once more, for our elected leaders, bring them godly wisdom. This whole world right now seems so shook up. And Lord, it's because you're not the God of it. You are, but so many people in the world are not accepting that. And because of that, we don't have peace. So Holy Spirit, knock loudly on the doors of the hearts of the men and women that are in leadership and bring peace to all of your children, the ones who call you Father and the ones who still will. Thank you. Amen. All right, kiddos. Come on, Landon. Whoa. I wonder what song we have today. I don't know. Ooh, you got your fishing poles on this one? Claire, do you know how to do that fishing pole? Remember? Watch. Let go. Let go, please. Remember, you gotta wind it in. Gotta hold it. Gotta fish. Okay, you ready? Okay. I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. Fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. If you follow me. If you follow me. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. Hear Christ calling, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me. Hear Christ calling, come unto me, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Hear Christ calling, come unto me, I will give you rest. Good job, guys. Here, Bubba. Funny actions, yeah. All right. Father, Lord, thank you for the hearts of these children. And thank you for the ministry they give to us, reminding us to have hearts like them, though we carry more burdens. Thank you, Lord, for their ministry to us. Watch over them, guide them, make straight their paths in an ever crooked world. Amen. All right, guys. Okay.
Sometimes we can't have children's church. but thank God we still do have the children. Amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning. As I shared last week, this week we will discuss Jesus entering into his ministry. We're going to follow as he goes and carries out the will of his Father. Last week we learned more about John the Baptizer's role. Remember, we talked about how he used, just like we do today, Brother Wink, we use water when we baptize folks to demonstrate the believer's new life in God. And we learn that Jesus would baptize believers with the Holy Spirit and the difference between those two. And so today's passage is shortly after Jesus gets baptized. He goes out into the wilderness, is tempted by the enemy of our souls, comes back strengthened and on fire to enter into public ministry. So it's just shortly after John, his cousin, is imprisoned. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 4. I'm going to start at verse 12. I'll be sharing from the New Living Translation. Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he left Judea and returned to Galilee. He went first to Nazareth, then left there and moved to Capernaum, beside the Sea of Galilee, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah. In the land of Zebulun and of Naphtali, beside the sea, beyond the Jordan River, in Galilee, where so many Gentiles live, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death cast its shadow, a light has shined. Now from then on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is near." And one day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Jesus traveled throughout the region of Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And he healed every kind of disease and illness. Amen to God's word. Amen. I'd like to call to our attention a few lessons to learn from this passage. So we're going to look at the significance of place, Jesus preaching, this topic, and our response. So first up, place, the significance of places. Now, when I read all the places Jesus was moving from and to, it occurred to me that he really was an evangelist. It reminded me of when I was a kid, how a traveling preacher would come to town and we'd have a revival. I don't know if any of you experienced that, but it's really cool. You get to hear all of these speakers from different places. And they're not just making up stuff. They're actually preaching the word of God. And the intent is so that others will come and know. Those who are curious about God will come and then become believers of Jesus. So when I was reading that, I was thinking, oh yeah, that's where we got it from. Jesus was doing that all along, running around from place to place, preaching the gospel. So he was a traveling preacher. But so I never thought about the places he traveled to. I mean, if you look at the list, I mean, I don't know about you, But I, so as a kid, I remember growing up in school, we had to draw maps and you had to memorize the places. And I remember doing Israel. But do I remember all of those cities now, Sister Donna? No, sadly, I do not remember those things. So when they listed those places, I was like, okay, just traveling over Israel, all those places, that's cool. I never thought of them being significant in any kind of way. But a commentator pointed out that the fact that the towns were small places, just because they were small places, doesn't mean that they were insignificant. Just because I don't know them doesn't mean that they're insignificant. So some of the places were insignificant as small, out of the way, not on the beaten path places. Yet Matthew points out they are still a part of God's plan. Isn't that fascinating? It doesn't matter if they're insignificant to us or even people back then. They're significant to God. They're a part of his plan. So that's what Matthew takes the time out to say. Matthew reminds us that those cities may seem insignificant, but they show us that our God is the God of his word. And so Matthew then quotes scripture. Remember, scripture for them back then is the Old Testament. So he goes back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Way back in Isaiah, the prophet foretells of a great light that will shine in the land that is utterly dark. So listen to what Isaiah wrote. This is Isaiah chapter 9. Nevertheless, that time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, but there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, listen to what it's called, Galilee of the Gentiles, those are people who don't believe in God, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan River, and the sea, Galilee, will be filled with glory. Now, this is Isaiah, hundreds of years before this even takes place. And yet Isaiah knew that the light was going to come to those insignificant places where non-believers who don't even think about God, that light was going to show up for them, just for them. They would know and experience the glory of God. Now, I know when we think of places, we usually associate, if not a memory, a feeling or thoughts about the people who live in said place. For example, if I say to you, New York City, what thoughts come to mind? Brooklyn Bridge, Statue of Liberty. What else? Tons of people. Yes. Skyscrapers. Times Square. What else? New York City. Dirty. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Twin Towers. Noisy. Traffic. Oh, yeah, traffic. And if you have friends and family there, you may think of it as a fun place to go, right? Because of the Statue of Liberty or Times Square, all the fun things. But if you don't know anyone there, you might just believe all the hype that's on TV or that you've seen in a movie or even in the news. You think about the negatives of the place. Someone said it's overpopulated with crowded streets and packed like sardines public transportation. People are always in a hurry, lots of noise, and yes, pollution and dirt. But what comes to mind when I say Paris or London? What about Hiroshima or even Baghdad? What are the things that pop into your mind when you think about those other cities? Wars, poverty, could be a fun place to visit. When, what, and do you think about what the people are like? that might live in those places. Now, I already know what you think about Portland, because many of you share what you think about Portland, so I'm not going to ask. We're just not going to have that. We're not going to have that conversation today. The hinterlands of Israel. Yes, I have a hand. Thank you. One person has fond memories of Portland. Thank you very much. And the fountains. Yes. Thank you. Awesome. So one of us has grown up in Portland as a child, and they have very fond memories. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for those who are on Pastor Teresa's side. Portland's not so bad. It's not Sodom and Gomorrah, as some of you have referred it to. The hinterlands of Israel were viewed similarly back in the day. Like those people out over there, right? Some people would call them small towns, describe them as out in the sticks, or think about the ungodly people who live there, right? All the negative things. Lots and lots of non-believers lived in the north in the territory of Israel. So if you have to do a map on where Jesus was before, was that he was in southern, he was in Judea, which is the southern part of Israel. So he travels all the way far up north. That's where Capernaum is. That's where the Sea of Galilee is. That's where the River Jordan is. And so it's saying he went all the way up to these foreign places where those Gentiles live, even though it's still all Israel. But that's where he went. The area where he traveled to was a place for markets. And so there were people from all over who came to trade their wares. And that's why you ended up having a lot of Gentiles living inside of Israel. Israel was also occupied at that time by the Romans, remember? So in Jesus' day, Roman Empire is reigning and they've come and really taken over. So there's a lot of them there as well. And believe me, they are not followers of Yahweh. They don't believe in the God of Israel. And yet, Jesus traveled to those far places to bring the good news to all who lived and worked there. The stereotype of what the people were like didn't matter to him. What mattered was that he obeyed his father and went to the nooks and the crannies, finding the lost ones so they could have a chance of salvation. Salvation wasn't limited to the house of Israel. That was never God's plan. God's plan was that all of humanity would know him, be in relationship with him, and be saved. So salvation is open to the Gentiles alike. That's the significance of places. It's for everybody, everywhere. But there's another part of the passage we must examine. We talked about the significance of place, but let's talk about Jesus preaching. What was he saying when he was out there? Now, when you read this passage, I find it curious because Jesus echoes his imprisoned cousin John. Matthew records that Jesus, after moving about, you know, he's made this massive move up north and he's traveling around up north. He begins to preach the same sermon the crowds have heard from John the Baptizer. Like, he doesn't even change the words. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Sound familiar? Well, it should, because that's exactly what John preached. In fact, River Jordan is where John baptized folks, right? So nothing's changed. The person has changed, but the message hasn't. Now, one would think Jesus being the Messiah might preach a different sermon, like, repent, for the Messiah has come and I'm him. But he doesn't do that. Instead, after being baptized by his cousin John the Baptizer, after John is in prison, gets sent to jail, He journeys from place to place and preaches the very same sermon that John did. We might think that Jesus is not doing the best logical thing. I mean, most traveling preachers set their sights on famous churches and pulpits, big cities that will draw large crowds, crowds of famous people, rich people, the brightest theologians, because, you know, you want to impress folks with your sermon and all your knowledge. People he could impress and prove them wrong. The Pharisees, you know, they just thought they knew everything. And the Sadducees and the scribes, they knew everything there was about God. He could have used his ability to shut them down once and for all. But that's not what he did. He didn't do that. He simply preaches the same thing, the same topic. He says, open your eyes and see. A whole new world is headed straight toward you. That's what he's saying when he says, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. It's coming straight at you. Open your eyes and see the hand of God. See his salvation. His sermon tells everyone everywhere he goes that God's salvation is headed straight for them. And it can change their lives if they let it. So he doesn't need to worry about impressing the people. He doesn't need to worry about proving them wrong. He just simply has to show up and say, repent. Kingdom of heaven is near. There's a third lesson. As Jesus continues preaching repentance, he calls the listener to follow. And that's part of the salvation plan. That's our part in the salvation plan. Jesus calls two sets of brothers to follow him. You read that, we read that in scripture, right? They recognize Jesus to be a man of God. So they leave their jobs and their families behind and they follow him. Fascinating that they would leave their families behind. Both sets of brothers in particular happened to be fishermen. So as we sang in the song, Jesus says, come, follow me. I will teach you how to fish for people. They leave their families behind. Go back to the scripture. Jesus called out to them, come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people. They left their nets at once and followed him. So at once means immediately, right then, right there. Verse 21. A little further up the shore, he saw two other brothers, James and John, sitting on a boat with their father Zebedee, repairing their nets. And he called them to come too. They immediately followed him, leaving the boat and their father behind. Now, this is an interesting thing because Matthew is pointing out the immediacy of it. It wasn't like, well, I mean, I'll think about it. Because here's what I think. They were all believers. They were waiting for the Messiah to come. And so by the time they saw Jesus, they were like, heck yeah, we're ready to do this. We're ready to follow the Messiah. So they didn't have to sit and debate and go, can anything good come from Nazareth? Can anything good come from Portland? What are we working with? They didn't do that. Some people did. In fact, when you read, if you continue reading scripture, Jesus was rejected in certain places because they were like, ain't that one little boy from he ain't got nothing to say. Why should we listen to him? But they didn't do that. Peter, Andrew, James, and John, they were like, there's something about this one. We've heard of him. We've seen him in action. He's been going up and down all these places, preaching and teaching the word of God. So when he invites them, they put their nets away. They kiss their dad goodbye. It's like, deuces. Love you, dad. We love our families. We love our wives and our children. But this is an opportunity of a lifetime. We must follow the Messiah. So they leave. These four men answer the call to follow. And I know sometimes, most times, I would say if you were asked about what does the call mean, what does that mean to be called? The first thing that probably pops into your head is, oh yeah, that's for preachers, that's for, you know, teachers, those religious leaders, they get called, you know. But God calls all of us, every single last one of us. He doesn't call everybody to do a public ministry like Jesus. He doesn't call everybody to be a preacher or to be a pastor of the church. But he calls you nonetheless. That's what that Holy Spirit is doing, calling you to know who God is, to be in relationship with him. He calls us to be in relationship with him and with others. He calls us to live a life that imitates who he is as God, our Father. And he calls us to invite others to know who God is. That's the call. And so while Peter, Andrew, James, and John join Jesus on the preaching circuit, Jesus begins his healing ministry. Because right there in that very same scripture, it talks about not only is he the topic of his preaching, repent, the kingdom of heaven is near, but it also shows what he does in his ministry. And he begins healing people. He talks about who God is, and then he shows them who God is. It's very fascinating. So when you read there, it says all kinds of people with all kinds of ailments are getting healed. They're being made whole. And this, because of the performing of miracles, attracts more and more people who get to see freedom. They get to experience being set free by Jesus the Messiah. The burdens of their life are lifted. They get healing for their bodies. But more importantly, they get healing for their souls. But that's only because they accepted a call to follow Jesus. Now, Jesus didn't invite everyone to be in his core group of disciples. But again, he invites everyone to follow him. Isn't that fascinating? We don't have to be the 12. We get to be the extended disciples. There are many who follow Christ and answered the call. And I believe this is the ultimate lesson for us to learn and to really, truly understand. Jesus accepted the call of his Father that God gave him, right? Go search for the lost and save them. And we hear Jesus talk about that later in a different book, John. I came, what? To seek that which was lost. My job is not to rub people's faces in their sin. It's not to come and judge them. Mm-mm, that's not even my job. I am here to find the lost coins, to go out for that one lost sheep, for that one lost thing. That's my job. Because it shows who God is to people. He is the shepherd who takes care of all of the sheep. So, Jesus responds to God's call, please go do this, because I need you to save humanity. And so he did. But look at what Jesus does. Just like he called his 12 disciples, he calls us. And why does he call us? To continue his ministry. He goes, I'm not going to be here forever. Y'all need to learn what I'm doing so that you can continue the work of God. So he teaches his disciples to do it. And because we now believe in Christ, he is calling us to do the very same. And if we accept the call, we are to go out to the small, inconvenient towns that no one's heard of. Gales Creek. Who has heard of Gales Creek? All of those places, large and small. And I want you to take a moment to think about those spaces and places that God has called you to. Because you may think, it's not significant. I'm just going to the post office. Post office. I'm doing my mail run. How do I shine the light for Jesus? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm just going to go take these cookies to my neighbor. It's not really a big deal. Oh, so you think it may not be a big deal. It can be a huge deal. For someone who never gets visitors, someone who's new to the area, they haven't yet made friends, you could be used by God to shine your light in that person's life. You can be a witness to them and help them with their family. Don't forget all of those little spaces that you think, eh. God wants to use you in those spaces and in those places because they are significant. And it doesn't matter what the people look like. They may dress differently, speak a different language, eat different types of food. But guess what? They're important to God, just as you and I are. So we are charged with continuing that ministry, to go to all of the places, to speak to all of the people, anyone we meet, everywhere we go, shining our light for God's glory. All the places are important because they have people who need to know God. They need to know that God loves them and wants to be in their life. And He wants them to live with Him forever. So even those people way over there who really right now, they don't confess God at all. But that's why they need you. That's why they need us to show them who God is. Not beat them over the head with the Bible. Not stand with some signs protesting their existence. Not helpful. Show them grace. Show them love. Show them patience. Show them kindness. Just as Jesus would. My prayer for us is that we will be brave. Brave enough to answer the call. To be willing to live our lives for God. Preach the good news to all people in all places that the Spirit leads us. Pray with me. Holy God, thank you. Thank you for your word. It's so simple right there. All of that information in just that one little passage. How you, Jesus Christ, were sent to earth on a mission of God our Father to seek that which was lost and to save it. You went to all those places that lots of us don't want to go. We wouldn't even think about going. But we know that your Spirit calls us to those spaces and those places. And why? Because those spaces and places have people that need to know you. And they will not know you if we don't go. If we don't take the opportunity to really, truly inhabit the spaces and places where we are. We don't have to go to China. We have co-workers right next to us in the cubicle next to us. We have neighbors next door to us and across the street from us or down the road from us. We have children in our lives that we can influence. We have parents that we can walk alongside and mentor. We have friends who we can be iron sharpening iron, all for your glory. So Lord, I pray that you would help us open our eyes and see your salvation. Help us to be your hands and feet of salvation, shining our lights for your glory so that others can come to know who you are. Use us. We thank you for doing it. We thank you for being so faithful to it. Give us courage. Give us strength. Fill our tongues with the right words. Fill our hearts with your love so that we can share it with others. We thank you, God. Thank you for entrusting ministry to us. We pray it now in your holy name. Amen. All right, let us close with a song and then our benediction.
We're going to stand and we're going to close with Change My Heart, O God.
Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me. This is what I pray. Change my heart, O God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, O God. May I be like you.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It's a wonderful song to remind us that that's why we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and our Savior. The Holy Spirit lives in us to change our hearts every single day, so that we become more and more like God our Father. So as we leave this place, my brothers, my sisters, my siblings in Christ, know that the Holy Spirit is with you to guide you, to keep you, to embolden you, to give you strength and courage to shine your light for his glory, so that others may come to know who God is and trust in him. Amen.
Amen.
Go in God's peace until we see each other again. Lord be with you.
Amen.